Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
She is an amazing climber, an amazing trainer. She has a master's in human movement, and she actually has almost every certification that I've ever heard of. So she really knows her stuff. She even has nutrition. And so you can see, obviously, her approach is very, very holistic. Even incorporating nature into her training with, obviously, the climbing and the bouldering and the things that she does. So she has a broad scope of knowledge that she draws from as she presents for us today. And one of the most important things about Mercedes, and one of the things that I really like, she practices what she preaches. She is everything that she will teach us today. Thank you very much, Mercedes. It's all yours.
Thanks, Ricky. Hey, everybody. I'm Mercedes. And mostly right now, I teach a lot of climbers to just be more like stronger and flexible. So flexibility is kind of like my passion right now, and really trying to dive deep into that topic. So that's what, you know, I'm doing right now. So for today, it looks like the poll, a lot of folks said that you either want to be a climber, you're not a climber. We have one person, 2 people, who's a climber. Welcome. Awesome. So really, like, today, I was just going to go through just a little bit about how climbing plays a role in movement, and then going over the benefits. And then we're going to go over some of the basic movements for climbing that we can do off the wall. And then I was going to talk a little bit about some of the equipment that we use, and if you're interested in getting into climbing, some of the safety things that we need to consider. And I'll show one of my favorite climbing drills. Okay, so basically, in terms of like climbing in the movement realm, so I've done a lot of movement training. I trained with Ido Portal. I trained with GMB. So right now I'm also working with Real Movement. And climbing really is one of those integral factors. You know, if you look at our human body, like our shoulders are really meant to be brachiating. So that means like swinging from like tree limb to tree limb. That's basically a clue into like why climbing is so important. So thinking about that and like in terms of brachiation, you know, the benefits that we can get from climbing, the number one for me, especially like as we get older and we age, is the importance of grip strength. And so like climbing really does work on that grip strength. And with climbing, it's not just like the same hold over and over. You actually really get to experience a diverse set of holds and movement, especially overhead. So that's why like I personally love climbing, because it's always serving me a variety of movement. So you can see like behind me, I have like a lot of different holds. Like the goal really is never to like train on the same type of hold. Like the more variation, the better. So with grip strength, So that's going to improve, like, in general, like lifespan. That's normally like what they measure to see how strong you are in your whole body. So that's like one awesome benefit from climbing. The second part would be shoulder ability. So with brachiating, we are using a lot more overhead. So even just this ability to bring the arm back, you know, I think we tend to lose that as we age. And if we don't use it, then we lose this ability to come overhead. So like, I'm going to show you a couple bar hangs that you can start doing just to get stronger in this position, especially if you haven't really done a lot of hanging before. But there's a lot of really awesome benefits from just hanging, like just passively. You don't even need to do anything. So that's like, there's actually a whole book on how passive hanging can benefit your shoulder injuries, or if you have some sort of like frozen shoulder or like some weird like shoulder injury. Passive hanging can really help with that. Another benefit of climbing is that it does change your peripheral vision. So with like some of the other courses in this, in the movement section in anatomy, you know, you might see like parkour and things like that. These are really ways to interact with the environment, and it changes like how you see the world. And with climbing, because you're going above the ground now, it changes your perspective. So even just being above the ground can also affect your psychology. So like there's an inherent risk now, like there, you know, it's a little bit primitive and a little primal to have this like risk in our brain. So like it changes how we think. So, you know, if you are interested in climbing, the first thing I would suggest you do is actually learn how to fall. And parkour is actually a great way to start doing that. The instructors are really awesome at teaching you how to be soft when you fall. In bouldering, which is primarily what I do, so that means that's no ropes. You don't get assistance. It's just you and you get some crash pads. I have a crash pad behind me. I'll show you what that looks like here in a second. So like that, especially if you're gonna do bouldering, you wanna know how to fall. If you're going to be on ropes, that is a little bit different. You are going to be exposed to higher, like bigger heights than in bouldering. But it is technically a little bit safer in terms of falling, but you still have this pendulum effect from falling. So just learning how to be comfortable with heights and with being soft on impact. So with the psychology component, it can really also help with pushing our comfort level. So like in terms of like, as we age in longevity, the risk of falls is pretty high. So if you're already like thinking about climbing and deciding like, okay, this could be a thing in my life, I think it could really serve you long-term, especially like in a longevity component. There's also a kind of a new therapy that's coming out now for PTSD. So this is something I just found out like a couple of weeks ago, which was really, really interesting, where they take folks in like a facility, and it's a very easy climbing wall, kind of like the one that I have behind me. And they do therapy sessions while people are climbing. So this is a really interesting facet. Like I haven't done enough research to really know more about this, but there is probably a component that we don't understand quite yet about how we move our body, being above the ground and have this kind of like inherent risk where we really have to focus and go inward into our body and almost have this like getting into the zone as we're moving, and how that might affect our cognition and the connections that we make in our brain. And maybe even some mantras that you say to yourself, like positive mindset work, that can really start to formulate if you're saying the stuff while you're on the wall. So as a result of some of these really awesome benefits of climbing, you know, I find for myself that climbing, so I actually was an amateur professional tennis player. So I played professional tennis until I was about 24. And then I came into climbing, and climbing was actually it was a cross training implement for me. My coach actually got me to start climbing so that I could increase my upper body strength for tennis. And what I realized was that, so once I quit tennis and I actually went pro into climbing, my confidence completely changed. And I think it's because, you know, when I think back, like tennis, yes, I'm against an opponent, which is very different to climbing, where you're really just against yourself. And the strength that you build and how you interact with the environment really changed my own confidence. And I like really attribute that like to the today, that I just feel like I can present in the world much better because I have this skill set. The other part of it is also being able to adapt to your environment. So one thing about climbing these days, which is really great, is that there is a lot of climbing gyms. So now you have more accessibility to get on a wall if you want to. And I would suggest that if you are interested in climbing, that you go into a climbing gym, and that's probably the best and safest place to learn how to climb. But traditionally it's been, let's go outside and figure out how to climb outside. And this was actually quite kind of a dangerous endeavor for most people trying to do that. So like really what we want is to like practice inside, so we kind of understand the movement and then go outside and start climbing. And what is really cool about both arenas, like inside and outdoor, is that the movement is going to be unique every time you climb. Obviously, even by repeating certain problems, that it's going to be different every time you repeat it. So it's that you're adapting to your environment every time. And I love that. And that's why I'm really passionate about flexibility right now, because the definition of flexibility on its own is being able to change or adapt to certain circumstances. And to me, like climbing and like parkour, you know, practices like that, it makes you more adaptable to your environment. So that's like really, really cool to me right now. Okay, so did we have any questions so far? Okay.
We're all tracking so far, Mercedes.
Okay, awesome. So we're gonna go into the practical component. I wanted to show you the three first things I think that are really important for beginners. And if even if you're climbing right now, just introducing this into your warm-up, I think is going to be really helpful. So the first place that we really want to pay attention to is going to be the wrist. Okay, so like the wrist and the fingers. So I'm just going to show you a quick warm-up. And this I actually took from handstand training. And I've been doing this warm-up before my climbing, and I get all of my clients to do this wrist warm-up. And it really has changed the rate of injury for fingers. So in climbing, especially if you're going to be pushing your climbing, finger injuries are going to be number one, just because of like the different orientation of holds. And we're mostly like tendon and ligament here. And it takes a lot longer to develop strength through the tendon and ligaments compared to muscle. So, you know, we tend to see a lot of finger injuries. So by working the wrist and the fingers in our warm-up and being very consistent in this manner can potentially mitigate injury. Okay, so I'm gonna move you. So the first thing we're gonna do, all right, so you'll just be able to see my hands, probably not my face in this, sorry for that. So the first thing we wanna do is have your fingers facing forward, and you're gonna notice that my elbows are gonna be facing forward. So I'm really trying to get this rotation component as I'm doing the wrist flexibility exercises. So I'm gonna start with my hips back, keeping my elbows locked out and rotated. I'm gonna bring my shoulders over as far as I can until I feel a stretch back through here. So you have two options here. You can either hold this end range for like, you know, maybe 15 seconds, or you can go back and forth. So either way, totally fine. I like to do about 10 reps per set. And as an added component, you're gonna push into the ground. So your hand will like, if my hand were off the ground, I'd be doing this. So as I come forward, I'm trying to push my fingers into the ground to bring me back. All right, so the fingers, the first one is fingers forward. The second one now is fingers back. The elbow pits are gonna be forward just naturally. And you know, if you spend a lot of time on a computer, this one is excellent because I think it really does help with elbow tendonitis as well. All right, so fingers facing back. So this time my shoulders are over
my wrists. Let me just change that a little bit. Okay, so then you can start to lean back and find your stretch. This time the stretch is gonna be out in front. If you don't work your wrists very often, this might feel quite uncomfortable. Maybe it feels like a little bit of compression in the wrist. What I would say is that don't push past any kind of weird pain or sensation. All we want is a nice, clean stretch feeling. And the stretch sensation that we want to get to is about an 8 out of 10. All right, so nothing really beyond that, nothing where it's going to change your breathing too drastically. Okay, so we got fingers forward, fingers back. Now we're going to go into fingers rotating toward the middle. Okay, and so the goal is to go around as much as you can. If you're right here, this is also okay. Over time, the goal is to get as much rotation, and the rotation does come from the shoulder. So sometimes the limitation could be the shoulder and not the wrist. So once you're here, you're gonna make little circles coming around, and the size of the circle will really depend on how much stretch you're feeling. So the stretch will be more of a spiral through the back of the forearm. Okay, so maybe 5 to 10 of those. Now this one, this is definitely one of my favorites. So these next two. So you can either stay right here. So the backs of the hands are gonna be on the ground. I'm gonna have an active thumb and active fingers. So if the camera were up, so my fingers would be more like this, okay? So this time the elbow pits are gonna be facing each other. Okay, and you can just hang out here. For a lot of you, the elbows may not fully extend. So the goal is to slowly get into this full extension, all right? And that's really gonna express the best flexibility through the wrist. I like to make this more active. So coming down, up and down in this fashion, but it's very controlled. So if you want, you can go slow opening up the fingers and slow, slow, slow coming all the way down. And then push back up. You'll notice that I'm actually keeping my hips back. So I'm not loading this a ton, especially if this is the first time you're doing something like this, you want to keep most of your weight on your heels. As you get better and you get stronger, you're going to be able to really push into the fingers. Okay. And this is important for climbing the, like adding more weight to the structures in the hand and the wrist. The last one that I really like are palm lifts. So you're gonna bring your palms up and down. So for this one, keeping the elbows locked out, again, elbow pits facing forward, and you're gonna bring your palms up and then press back down. So I'm not pulling my fingers up, so the base of my fingers stay on the ground. Okay, so you go up and down, and I want this to be as controlled as possible. Okay, cool. So that is the wrist warm-up. Definitely a lifesaver for most climbers. Okay, so the next one we're gonna do is a bar hang. So this is kind of the integral part of getting an introduction into hanging. So a lot of my clients to begin with, I really like to get them to passively hang. And so what we're looking for is full extension in the shoulder, and you might find that you won't be able to get there, and that's okay. Over time, consistency, so even just like 30 seconds every day, you know, so if you have a pull-up bar in your house, or maybe that's like the best thing to do is actually just get a pull-up bar for your house, and every time you walk by, you just hang even just for 5 seconds, and that can start to change the structures in your shoulder and get you super ready to go climbing. So let me show you here. I like to keep my feet on the ground, especially to start with. So as a warm up, and you'll notice that I am trying to come all the way over. This is also kind of an advanced move, so you can just keep your hands open and just hang more from your fingers, okay? So from here, my feet are on the ground, and I'm gonna slowly add more weight to my shoulders and just kind of see where your end range is. If you feel any kind of like tweaky feeling in your, like especially the tops of your shoulder, then you can make it more active. So you can pull the shoulder blades down and just be right here. And your feet can stay on the ground. I like to start with about 30 seconds, like working up to 30 seconds to begin with. And with every exhale, I'm trying to think about driving or just like dropping down with gravity as much as possible. So as you inhale and then exhale, and then you can just load the structure more and more with every breath. So maybe you can even just, you can count three breaths and then come off, shake out, maybe go do something else, maybe do a little bit more wrist stuff, come back, and then do like maybe 3 to 5 cycles of this, okay? So if passive hanging feels pretty good to you and you can bring your feet off the ground, again, the goal is to get up as much as possible, so shoulders up to the ears. Now, the second part of this would be an active hang. So you can pull your shoulders down. Oh, we got someone doing this with me.
Hi.
So once you're in a passive hang, you can keep your feet on the ground and then actively pull the shoulders down and you hold for a few seconds and then go back into the passive hang. And then actively pull the shoulder blades down, hold for a few seconds, and then come back into that passive hang. So I like to do about 10 of these as my warm up. And this alone is going to build the muscles to pull the arm into the right position. So the shoulder blades are really what help us pull. So with climbing, we're going to be using our lats. This is going to be like the biggest part for us, okay? And what really helps to drive the arm down is the shoulder blades. So that's why it's really important to work on this position of up, down, and even just like forward and back, you know, with push-ups, you can do scap push-ups just away and then together. So this would be the second progression, okay? And then the third progression would be entering into an arch, okay? And let me actually change the perspective so you can see. It's gonna be, hopefully you can see. So what I'm gonna try to do is like the middle of my chest, I'm gonna think about trying to pull that up to the ceiling, all right? And the shape or the size of the arch will really depend on your ability to pull the shoulder blades back, okay? And this is gonna develop over time. So from here, you're gonna activate the shoulders first. So I'm pulling the shoulders down. And then I'm gonna think about chest up to the ceiling, hold for a few seconds, and then back down, okay? So shoulders first, chest up, and then back down. And then you can really get into a really big arch as you do that, all right? And so when you do that, when you add the arch, it's gonna recruit a lot more lat, okay? Which is great. So we're basically connecting the scapula muscles and the lat kind of together in that arch position, all right? So those would be kind of the three top like hanging exercises I would do as a beginner climber, or if you're thinking about getting into any kind of brachiation. And I'm sure like, you know, parkour probably also has some really awesome brachiating exercises. So the next one I wanted to show you was the bear, because climbing is a locomotion movement. So it's a quadrupedal locomotion movement. And so if you warm up a little bit with kind of this in mind, like this coordination in mind, it might really help on the wall as well. So the bear, let's see, I wonder. Okay, so getting onto all fours.
So it's kind of this A-frame position, and you can have your knees bent if you want. The goal is to really press away from the ground as much as you can. So I'm actively pushing away from the ground, and then your knees can be bent or straight. As long as you're kind of making an A position, then you're doing it right, all right? So from here, the bear is, so you can move one hand, and then naturally whatever foot, so you're gonna shift the weight onto that hand, and then whatever foot feels like there's no weight, that's the one you're gonna move forward. Okay, and then the other hand moves forward, you're gonna shift your weight, and then the next foot moves forward. Okay, and it doesn't have to look just like me, whatever is happening naturally happens. Okay, and then going backward, I love the backward bear because it really works the serratus muscles, right? All right, so going forward and back, and this is gonna open up the hamstrings, activate the core. And going backward again. And when you go back, maybe experiment with really pushing with the one arm as much as you can. Push, push, push. And you're gonna feel that activation through the shoulder, okay? So that's the bear. You can go slow or fast, whatever you feel is good for you, okay? All right, so that was the hanging component. Okay, the next component, oh no, 1 second. Wanted to talk about training the fingers. So in climbing, the fingers are going to be very important to train, just like I said in the beginning. And so you can get these hangboards. I have a hangboard up here. It's basically just a really big version of this. And so like, basically what this does is train, it's kind of a generalized strength tool, all right? So we've got very straight edges. And so what you can do, this one, I like to attach to my pull-up bar and pull as hard as I can on it. That way it's auto-regulated. So you don't need to like basically hang on a hangboard and not know how much weight you can handle. Instead, you can just add one of these to a pull-up bar, start at 90 degrees and pull as hard as you can. Okay, and you can use any other grip that you want. So you can go straight on top. So this position where the fingers are all the way over is called a jug, all right? Kind of like a jug of water, you know, there's like a huge handle. So that's called a jug. In general, as you get better at climbing, you're going to want to train crimps, which is this edge, all right? Where it's gonna be a little bit more open. There are other positions, so you can go thumb over like this, or there's a half crimp, which is a 90 degree position in the knuckle, or an open crimp, okay? So these are all things you will naturally kind of tend to see as you're climbing, but it is a really good idea to start training finger position, I think, even as a beginner. So as you get better and better, so as an advanced climber, I'm probably doing this once a week. In general, like once a week for anyone is gonna be really, really fantastic. Think of it as like strength training for your fingers. All right, so instead of doing bicep curls, we're gonna do finger training instead, okay? So this one is a 20 millimeter. They generally go by millimeters. So this is a single finger pocket that you can train. This one is two fingers. They also have a pinch on here as well, because like we have so many different positions in climbing. So I like just the regular straight pulling down, the crimp position, and you can do a good protocol is there's a scientist in Spain. Her name is Eva Lopez. She has probably the best research protocol for climbers and finger strength. And all it is a 10 second hold. And then you rest for 3 minutes and you just do that 3 to 5 times. Okay, that is it. And that's really all you really need to boost the strength of your fingers. There are other protocols that you can do. There are some very complicated ones, and depending on which cycle you're in and if you're trying to like build fitness in your forearms, there's also other protocols for that. But if you're starting out, 10 seconds is going to be great. That's like, if you think about it, like when we're climbing, we're probably spending about 5 to 7 seconds on a hold at a time. So as you hit and you're like pulling through, that time is what we're trying to get stronger. Okay. So 10 seconds is going to be great. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to show you were the shoes, and I'm going to show you a quick technique on the climbing wall. Let me just grab my shoes for you. So I use a fairly aggressive climbing shoe. Unfortunately, I don't have like a beginner shoe here, but it is important to start with a more beginner shoe because it's going to be painful in the beginning. So with the more aggressive shoe, you'll see that, so if you're looking down, it's going to push all of the force into the big toe, which is excellent. Okay, we want that because the big toe is the strongest structure in our foot to be able to like stand on. Okay, so it's kind of like a ballet shoe. That's really how these are made. So like all of the force of the last, the way that they construct this is to put all of the force right here. And you'll see like I have like a hole in the big toe. That means I've got good footwork. Okay, so for a beginner shoe, so you'll see that this shoe is a little bit more downturned. A beginner shoe is going to be a little straighter. That means it won't put as much pressure on the big toe, which is good because this is really painful. And I want you to be comfortable when you first start climbing or if you're thinking about getting climbing shoes, okay? So whenever you make contact with a hold with your foot, this is the part that you want to make contact with. So generally, this area, okay? So this is left and right. I'm basically trying to use this part of my foot as much as possible. You will be using some of this. And then there's also the other side of the shoe. And so we do a lot of heel hooks and toe hooks. That's why there's rubber on the top as well. So climbing really is very interesting because we can use our whole foot to keep us up on the wall. And remember, it is a locomotion exercise. We're gonna be on the wall using all four limbs. And I think as beginners, what tends to happen because of this fear factor that I was talking about in the beginning, we forget about our feet. So if we can do a really good job of trying to work on our footwork, okay, like basically being on a terrain that's gonna benefit your footwork, that's really going to be the best place to start. So if you start on an overhanging wall, kind of like the one that I have here, it's going to be very upper body dominant. And so what that does is maybe teach you not great footwork to start with. I think it is really important to use your toes. So I'm just going to show you one climbing move. And actually, let's do the bear again. And I'm going to show you a little bit about how this might look on the wall. Okay, so let's get back into this bear. So I'm in this bear. So as I go forward, I'm actually going to like start to cross my feet. Okay, so this is actually more of a climbing movement, this rotation, and the hip is facing the ground, okay? So this is the movement that we want to get when we're climbing, okay? So it's a bear, but we're crossing our feet instead, all right? So I'm going to show you my favorite technique. It's called the twist and lock, all right? I think that I did not make this name up. I'm pretty sure this drill has been around for a really long time, but not many people know about it. I think it's definitely one of the secrets to climbing movement. All right, so I'm going to
See if I can get you.
Sorry, this like video positioning is a little bit crooksy. All right. And when we're climbing, I like to use chalk. Chalk is going to increase friction. So if you're a beginner climber, 100% use chalk, okay? Chalk and shoes are going to make the experience so much better. So let's see. Okay. So I'm making contact with my big toe. All right. I'm not placing my foot off to the side like this. This is okay sometimes, but again, we want to get our big toe involved as much as possible. So with the twist and lock, if I'm going to move my left hand, I'm going to rotate my left hip into the wall. Okay. So I'm twisting and the lock is actually in this shoulder. So now I'm going to move. Okay. So I haven't even bent my arms yet, but I'm able to move. So again, I'm going to move my right hand. I'm going to rotate and I'm still on my big toe and I move. My arms are still straight. So you can keep your arms relatively straight and save your arms as much as possible. So again, I'm going to twist and lock. I'm going to rotate. Now I'm locked in. This hand and this foot, this bent one, is actually doing most of the work. This foot is just keeping me balanced. Okay, and then I'm going to cross over and I'm going to rotate. So you'll see my hips rotate, my feet rotate, and then I can move. Twisting and locking. And when I move my, so this little maneuver is called a flag, okay? Where I'm not on anything, I'm just balancing. Okay, so that is the twist and lock. There's a little bit more that goes into it, but that is the general positioning. Keeping your arms as straight as possible, rotating on your toes, and getting your hips into the wall. Cool. Okay, so now I have one flexibility exercise that I wanted to show you. Basically, this is because of the nature of climbing, the goal really is to get the hips into the wall. So if you can get your hips into the wall, just like the twist and lock, the easier it's gonna be on your upper body. So what you may also find is that the position, which is the frog position, it's not always the best position to be in, but it's this position, okay? Sometimes we need to be here. The goal is to not be in this position because it really does take a lot of effort for the arms. But you'll notice that my flexibility is really going to be the limiting factor. So if I'm not flexible, my hips are gonna be further away. If I'm really flexible, I'm gonna be able to drive those hips in, okay? So this exercise is the horse stance, and we'll actually do horse and maybe frog as well. So both of these will really help to increase hip flexibility. And I would say that these stretches are actually really great just in general, but for climbing specifically, I really love it. So the horse stance, so we're gonna do a three-step horse stance. So the toes are gonna go out, the heels are gonna go out first. So the feet stay together. We're gonna rotate the heels out, then the toes out, and then the heels out. So that's a three-step horse stance. So when we're here, I want your feet to come out to 45 degrees. This is a really nice natural position for the feet. So the horse, basically what we wanna do is keep the torso upright, and I'm gonna squat down. You're gonna get to a point where you'll start to feel a stretch and probably a lot of intensity through the quads. You wanna get to about an 8 out of 10 intensity, all right? So don't push it. Don't get to a point where you're like a 9 or 10 and you're like shaking, okay? You wanna be able to breathe. And we're holding this position, like in the beginning, if you're very new to this, you wanna hold it for about 10 to 15 seconds.
and then you'll come up, okay? As you get better, all right, you can stick with the three step and then continue to work up to about 30 seconds. If 30 seconds feels really good, 60 seconds is our upper limit. There's kind of like diminishing returns after 60 seconds, all right? So this is definitely my favorite. And really what we're trying to do, like that horse stance, is gonna get us into more of this side split, which for climbing, the side split is gonna be huge benefit to us because we'll be able to reach feet that are out of reach basically, okay? So the more you can get into the side split, the better you're gonna be. All right, so the last one, so you can pair the horse stance with the frog position. So the frog is just like what I did on the wall, but your feet are gonna be out, kind of out to the side, all right? If your feet can't do that and they're straight back, that's okay. So the goal is for the knee to be at 90 degrees and the knee and the hip to be in line, okay? So you're gonna be on your elbows and the hip position. So you'll notice that I'm rotating my hips. So this is anterior tilt. This is posterior tilt. We want anterior tilt, okay? So keeping a slight arch in that lower back, and you can just hold this position, all right? And you can contract into this. So pushing the knees into the ground for a few seconds and then relaxing, and then doing the opposite, pulling the knees off the ground. So now you'll be activating the glutes instead of the adductors, and then you can relax and then push your knees into the ground for a few seconds and then relax and then pull the knees up off the ground and relax. And you can do a couple cycles of that. I like to do maybe 5 reps at a time and then go back to a horse stance and then come back to this. So the key thing about these two is that they're very adductor heavy. And what that means is that in general, as humans, with the things that we do, we tend to not train the adductors very much. So the adductors are the inside, okay, so your groin. The adductors tend to be pretty weak and under-trained. So when you're doing this, if you're trying this, don't overdo it. Maybe max like 3 sets to begin with, and then doing it maybe twice a week. And then, you know, you'll be conditioning that muscle to get stronger over time. All right, so that is what I have for you. So if y'all have some questions, let me know.
All right, perfect timing, Mercedes. Thank you very much. That was outstanding. I really, really like that. Yeah,
awesome.
Especially your tips for climbing about like getting the hips close to the wall to save the grip. Love it. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yes.
So we do have a couple of questions here.
Okay.
And the first question is, can you speak to hanging from a tree branch? They're wider, more textured, and there's some discomfort from the roughness.
Yeah. So with the tree branch, yeah, it's going to be more open. So it's actually going to be harder. And I would say like, if that is something that you want to work up to and the roughness, I think that sensitivity, just like in climbing, that is something that you're going to be able to work through. But I would just take it like step by step, just like in climbing, where you could do 10 second holds where you just like hang from the tree branch 10 seconds and then rest for maybe a minute and then do 10 seconds again. And then you'll be able to tell like at what point is the tree branch really starting to affect your grip. I think at that point you can kind of stop because like generally like that tends to, if you overdo it, that can maybe stop you from doing other things and maybe not even being able to do brachiating on a tree limb like the next day. So keeping your skin, like slowly building up the calluses is gonna be really important for that. So don't, you know, you don't have to throw yourself at the tree branch all at once, you know, like over time, especially if you have trees that are available like in the park, then anytime you go to the park, maybe do a couple sets But again, remember that because you're in a more open position, this is going to be harder. And it actually, so in climbing, we actually call these slopers. So when it's more open, you're actually going to use more shoulder strength. So you need more shoulder strength in order to hold. So actually, like, I think hanging from tree branches is actually a really awesome cross training for climbing, because it is like kind of like a contrast. We don't get a lot of sloper training like in gym settings compared to like outside.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Our next question, Mercedes, is what if the shoulders crunch when you take the shoulders up and down from like a passive position into the active position? What if they crunch?
So with crunching, you know, I'm not a PT or an orthopedic surgeon or anything, but from what I understand is that crunching is kind of like this crepitus, and not, it's not always bad. If there's pain, okay, don't do it. All right. Like what is probably better is to go into a range that there's no crunching or anything, and you work that range, and eventually that crunching will hopefully like start to go away, and hopefully that pain will start to go away. But if you work on shoulder flexibility, that crunching will eventually go away as well, because the crunching is really just an indicator that things are starting, are rolling over structures. So it's like oftentimes like the tendons rolling over bone. Naturally, like if we're looking into the shoulder, some of that is going to be happening naturally. Okay. That's just like how the shoulder works. But if you actually hear it, then that's a sign to like say, okay, you're probably a little bit tight somewhere in the shoulder. Most likely it's going to be in the front and the bottom part of the shoulder. So like, I would say like doing like holds like this is probably actually good. Again, as long as there's no pain. That's really what I can talk to about that.
Okay. And we had a similar question about the elbow. If it hurts, is it okay to stretch it? Because when she climbs, she doesn't feel pain.
Okay.
But she doesn't want to overdo it. So,
yeah.
So the climbing doesn't hurt.
Yeah. So with I'm guessing maybe you have climber's elbow. So if you got it from climbing, then the elbow will be hurting a little bit more through here and like more through the bicep and the forearm. Otherwise, like the other parts are like, you know, the golfer's elbow and then the tennis elbow. Oftentimes it's, if you're doing a lot of computer work plus doing a lot of pulling work, that's like the same muscles being used over and over. So I would say doing some sort of pressing. So bench press or push-ups, like full range push-ups. So you might have to elevate yourself. And like, I like to use a bench or a box and do full range push-ups where my chest touches the bench and then I press away. That way you're working the other side of the elbow. So you can also do tricep extensions. That works really well, you know, as a supplement. So thinking about the things that you do often, what are the things that you could supplement that is the opposite of that? So basically antagonist training that can really help to build this part of the elbow. And I also really like wrist curls help as well. But sometimes wrist curls can aggravate that. So that is more like, you'll just have to like figure that out. If it doesn't hurt climbing, continue to climb until the point of like, okay, this isn't really very good for me. I like to work around pain. That's generally my philosophy. So I hope that answered your question.
Okay, excellent. Excellent. Thank you for answering all those questions for us, Mercedes. There is a lot to digest here, and it's very exciting to get these tips on how to climb and think about actually making it out there and doing like the bouldering and all the cool stuff that you do. So if anybody does want more time to digest these ideas, please consider getting the library, because then you'll have the entire session as well as everything from the channel. Or if you get the entire library, you can digest it at your own pace. You can go back and revisit it and work these exercises again and really integrate it into your body. It's also a great way to say thank you to our speakers and the organizers. And it's also nice because when people buy the library, that's how we can afford to do this, you know, and give it away for 48 hours for everybody to check out, you know, if they can't buy the library. Also, if you want to continue the conversation, please join us for the coffee break in the Facebook group. And let's see, I know we put your links in there again, Mercedes.
Oh, cool. Awesome. There was one question about gloves. I just wanted to answer that really quick.
Yeah.
For gloves, I wouldn't use it for climbing or brachiating because you want to build this up. All right. The hands and the skin are your feedback system. If you're lifting, you can wear gloves. That's fine. But for climbing, I think it's really important to not wear gloves.
All right. I do want to make one quick correction that this was the Movement Channel. We accidentally played the Ecology and Research Channel. We're going to drop in the sponsor, which is Dr. Gil Headley, who is an amazing man. He's super awesome. He's an amazing anatomist and a great teacher. Please do check out that video. And he'll be speaking twice, once on this channel and once in the keynote. So please give him some attention as well. And then to wrap up, Mercedes, we ask all of our speakers, what is your number one tip to help us with our embodiment?
Ooh. Well, for climbing, I think the positive mindset and being more present in your body is really gonna help. So like with climbing, what's really cool is that you can often either tell yourself really nice things, or if you fall and then you tell yourself really terrible things about yourself, you know, that's a feedback loop. So I think for climbing and for yourself, like try to be as positive about yourself and take everything as feedback and not failure.
That's brilliant. Do you still think that when you fall off of a boulder, take it as feedback?
I try to.
Okay.
Yes, I really try to.
Okay. Excellent. Excellent. Mercedes, thank you so much. I'm very excited to try some of these moves and start to climb and begin my own journey getting better at climbing. We've reposted the sponsor link and we've reposted your links, Mercedes. So everybody, please check these out. Join us in the coffee room and on the Facebook page. And Mercedes, again, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye, everybody.